Yeah, morning, everybody.
And now it's my turn to say Happy New Year. Now I'm the new Billy No Mates up here on the stage. But I'm not going to stay Billy No Mates for very long, because this is going to be a talk with us with a difference. Because I'm going to ask you to do most of the work. We're going to be talking about change. And we're going to look at God's perspective on change. So we're going to dodge around the Bible a little bit, finding some verses that actually give us the picture of God's perspective about change. So if you don't have a Bible already, if you can't find one in the seat in front of you, there's some here at the front you can pick up. And those of you that like to sit at the back, there's some on the shelves. Those of you at home, and I know there's a lot of you, we have a bumper online audience this morning. I can't imagine why. If you don't have a Bible on your bedside table, please get up and find one. And I hope that you'll join me as we go through this. We just pick up half a dozen or so verses, and I'd like you to read them with me as we go through. I will do a bit of talking as well, of course. So, midnight last night, those of us that were still awake, we may have had our glass of bubbly and we sang Auld Lang Syne, and all of a sudden, 2022 became 2023. Just like that. And that is a feature of how we have invented our own time scale here on earth, which is not God's time scale. Yeah? So, you know, we've changed. We've got a new calendar on the wall. Has anything else changed this morning, do you think? Do you feel any different this morning to when you felt yesterday morning? Hopefully a little bit more hopeful, perhaps. We have our time. God has his time. And God has his own perspective on time and us within it and so on. And when we look back at last year, I mean, how would you sum up last year? What sort of word would you use to sum up what we experienced in the world last year? But chaotic? That's John, you must have a good word.
Disturbing.
Disturbing. Thank you. Thank you. That's just the cue I wanted. Yeah, what's the name of the current Prime Minister? It's still Richie, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Three Prime Ministers in 1 year, two monarchs in 1 year. I won't name how many wars we've had around the world during the year, but we certainly know about one and the effect that it's had, not only on the people in Ukraine, but people around the world. Yeah. So I'm sure you've all heard the expression, the only constant in the world is change. Yeah, I mean, and it's true, isn't it? You might be surprised to find that's not a modern expression at all. That phrase was coined by a chap called Heraclitus. And my history is not too good, but it's certainly more than 2,000 years ago. Things haven't changed, but then things have changed. It is the same world that God made. It is, in a way, a chaotic world. But like I said, God stands outside that chaos, outside that time. So let's just have a look at the first verse I'd like us to look at, which gives us a picture of our time as God. And you'll find it in Psalm number 90. And I'm not going to make you flick through all the pages. It's on page 599. Yeah. I'm sorry, people at home. You're going to have to find it yourself. Yeah, 599. I also have to find it as well, because I've got verses down here which are a little bit different to yours. So we should at least be reading the same word, shouldn't we? Okay, and we're going to read just verses 2 and 4, and hopefully we can read them together. Starting at verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night. That's our God. And that's his perspective on the time and the seconds and the minutes and the hours. And now we've got a clock that is so accurate, it loses 1 second every million years. Okay. Now, a million years, that's more like God's time, isn't it? However, chaos last year. What's going to happen this year? Do we know what's going to happen this year? We can predict something, can't we? I know that Liz is going to have a birthday on a certain date this year. And the night before, I'll remember that I haven't bought her a present. That I can predict. But there are many things that we can't predict. We should expect this coming year to be as chaotic as last year was, without knowing what's coming, because we don't know what's coming. God knows what's coming. How many of you heard the expression, we live in a VUCA world? No, you see, you're not management consultants, so you wouldn't know. It's an acronym that a lot of business people use nowadays because of the chaotic nature of business in today's world, but that is only a symptom of the chaotic world. VUCA stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Now, I think you might agree with me that those four words really do sum up the world we live in nowadays. Volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And I just want to have a look at each of those and see what's God's perspective on that as well. So we've seen that God is timeless, out of time, but in time. You know, although God is out of time, he is still faithful to us. God is unchanging, but is just, is all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, holy, faithful, loving, and merciful to us. So although God's out of time, he's actually in our time as well, and is always with us. Thomas Chisholm wrote a song that has a line that sums up God's perspective. And I'll use the old-fashioned language. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Yeah? Same yesterday, today, and forever. But VUCA world, how come that we have this chaotic world that we live in? Well, it is because God designed our world, the universe we live in, and gave man, created man in his own image. For God to create man and woman, I have to say, sorry, the Bible's very misogynistic. God created man and woman, mankind, in his own image. What does that mean? That means that mankind has a will to make choices. And we can make choices for good or bad. That's how God designed us. God wants us to make choices for good. Unfortunately, quite often, we all make choices for bad. And some people in the world have a habit of constantly making bad choices. I could think of a madman in Moscow at the moment who's made some pretty bad choices. So let's just have a look at our VUCA world and how it comes about. On page 1197, you'll find 2 Timothy chapter 4. 1197. You'll probably get there before I do, actually. Okay, 2 Timothy. And we're going to read, we're just going to read in chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And yet, one of the features that I want to bring to your notice this morning is that in all of the verses that we're going to look at, some of them are an explanation and others are a go and do type thing. And that's a go and do verse. Okay, so in this chaotic world, we have a ministry to bring to the world to preach the good news and to help people keep on the right track. So that's that. Let's look at VUCA, volatile. Volatile means things that happen that are unexpected. The natural world is volatile. I mean, our earth is literally a ball of white hot molten lava with a thin crust on top on which we live, and that erupts from time to time. So we have earthquakes, we have volcanoes, we have tectonic plates moving around that cause all sorts of issues. So even in our natural world, there is an element of chaos about it. And of course, we add to it with global warming and all the things we do that makes it even worse. Our weather patterns go wrong. And as mankind, we do volatile things as well. If you're anything like me, you can be a very placid, gentle character most of the time. But when somebody cuts you up at a junction, you become very volatile. And I have to erase the recordings on my dash cam quite frequently because you learn quite quickly that the dash cam doesn't just record what's going outside of the car, it records what you say as well. So beware. So volatile. And if you, I hope you kept your Bibles open at that page, because if you look at the page before, 1196, you can read again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this time, chapter 3, we'll read from verses 1 to 5. Okay, probably got it by now, I would think. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. That's the go and do phrase. So, I mean, God knew that this was how our world was going to be, and that people, men had a choice, and we as lovers of God have our choice as well in how we react and what we do to try to bring God's order into our world. So as we struggle with the fallout of Brexit, and people struggle with hardship, with no heating, with no money. As we struggle with the ongoing after effects of COVID, although we're released a great deal from where we were, that still doesn't mean to think the thing is going away. And there are predictions that other pandemics are going to be coming. We're living in an uncertain world in terms of what on earth is going to happen to Europe this coming year with what's going on in Ukraine and the possibility that that might spread. What's our new Prime Minister going to do? Will he still be in place at the end of the year? How is our new monarch going to reign? What sort of model is he going to be? And for us, ourselves, you know, what is the certainty about our situation for the future? We just don't know, do we? So in times of uncertainty, again, let's look at God's perspective. And I'd like you to look at page 1083 this time. And that's the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And I will get there. Yeah, chapter 4. And we will be reading. It's John chapter 14, not 4. Oh dear. That's what you get for preparing everything at 12:30 last night. 1083, and we're going to be reading chapter 14, starting at verse 27. Okay, and here it is. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's as much as we need. That is God's perspective on our uncertainty. He's made a promise to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled, even in times of uncertainty. And we'll come back to that a bit later on in more detail. Now, we've looked at how volatile our world is. We've looked at how uncertain things are for us in the future. Let's look at complexity. You know, let's say 1,000 years ago, life was probably pretty simple, wasn't it? I mean, you slept at night. When the sun came up, you woke up, you had some breakfast, you went to work, maybe in the vineyard or in the fields, or if you're a carpenter, whatever. You had your lunch, you worked again in the afternoon. You went home, you had your tea, it got dark, you went to bed and slept. The next day, you woke up, you had your breakfast, you went to work. Yeah. And if you were a devout person, on the seventh day of the week, which in those days might have been a Saturday, it might not, who knows, you'd have a rest. And you'd just get up and eat. And that was how simple life was. What's it like today? We have invented electronics. We've invented computers. We've developed all sorts of things to make our life so much easier. And do they? Oh no, they don't. I switch my phone on so I can talk to people, and for some reason the screen's blank and I get volatile. I switch my computer on and I type a whole sermon out over the course of a couple of hours, and I go to save it and it disappears. And I get very volatile. Apart from that, we turn our television on, we turn our radio on, we look at our phones, We are bombarded with information. Absolutely. I mean, 2,000 years ago, you looked around your house and the walls were probably plain, the floor was plain, some furniture. You went outside, you saw nothing but what nature provided. Very simple. And now we drive along the road, there's a road sign every 100 metres, there's an advert here, the radio's on, we've got stuff coming in. It's an incredibly complex world that our brains have to put up with nowadays. And technology, rather than help, doesn't work. Yes, some interaction.
How much of that information is the truth? How much of that technology?
You're feeding me all the right lines today. Let's not bother looking at a verse for complexity. You can if you like. It's back to Timothy again. Don't worry, I'll read it out to you. 1197. And it's 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 to 17. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, and actually that's Paul talking to Timothy directly, you, man of God, are thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's the go and do for us as well. In this time of a complexity and uncertainty, there is one truth, and that's God's truth. And the Bible spells that truth out to us. And as we talk to God in prayer and have our conversations, God gives us his truth. And we have to act on that. Yeah, but let's come back to what you were saying. What is true? And we come to the last of our VUCA words. Ambiguous. Okay. How do we know what we're being told is true? How do we know what is fake news? How do we know what is propaganda? And how do we know that whoever is giving us this information is actually telling the truth? How do we know whether they're not putting forward their own agenda to us? Yeah? I mean, I'm sorry to keep going back to it, but the war in Ukraine. We are hearing President Zelensky saying, we are pushing them back, we are winning, we're terminating a lot of their soldiers. Whereas we hear President Putin in Russia and his mouthpiece, Mr. Lavrov, saying, we're winning. We are definitely doing okay. And that's all that people in Russia are hearing. Even some who have relatives living here in England who are hearing the other side of the news, they won't believe them. They're saying, no, you're telling lies. We know because Mr. Putin's told us we're winning. Who knows? Okay. How do we believe our politicians nowadays? Let's face it, during the course of last year, do any of you have any faith in our politicians nowadays? I can't believe that they are all out for their own ends. But who knows? And who knows what they're saying? What happened to the £300 million that was going into the NHS? Thanks to Brexit? Where did that money go? I don't think many of us have seen it. So we are, you know, the world is ambiguous because a lot of people make it ambiguous for their own ends, for corruption. When we look at the television, we see the adverts. How true are they? How do we know? And what's the motivation? And that really is what life is all about for us now, is in this ambiguous world, how do we make our judgments about what is true? We only know one thing, that God is true, forever is true, and is the one source of truth for us. Unfortunately, I mean, the Bible is written for people 2,000 years ago. So a lot of what we struggle with today in terms of moral, ethical dilemmas were not relevant at that time. But if we think about the simple message that Jesus gave to those people at that time, God's word is just as relevant to us today as it was then. What we have to do is concentrate on it and say, what is the message for us today that was very simple for those people 2,000 years? That is the truth that we need to concentrate on. That's the truth that we need to spread in the world. Yeah. So there are some go and do verses. Yes, sir.
Just make that and 2 Timothy, yeah. Chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 3, down to chapter 9, the end of chapter 9. If everything that exactly sums up what we're saying.
Come on then, give it to us.
But Mark says, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into hell and gain control over weak-willed women. Excuse me.
I'm not going to read that particular verse. that's dear Paul being a misogynist. He had good reason in those days, but let's not go there. Thank you for that. That's brilliant. That does sum it up. So, because Liz has just given me the sign, let's round off what this is all about. I'll read this to you, because God's view of what is going on in mankind, in the world at the moment, is summed up in chapter 6 of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. That is what God doesn't like about what's going on in our world at the moment, and God calls us to bring his truth into place, to replace that somehow. That's the go and do. So we actually have 2 things to do in this world as lovers of God, as followers of Christ. We have to school ourselves to learn to live with uncertainty, with volatility, with ambiguity, and follow Christ's truth. We also have to go and do that for other people. Yeah? It's not just enough to save ourselves. We have to be helping to save others as well. Yeah. So, again, from the first letter, Peter, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. So, we've dodged around a few verses, and I hope you've got the picture of how God is out of time, in time. He's not with us, but is with us, and encourages us to live through uncertainty, to keep faith, and to help others keep faith. So I want to finish with some very, very familiar words for you from Philippians. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And when I was at school, the end of every term, when we were all assembled in the big hall, our headmaster would read those words to us. The significance of them went straight over my head. But now I understand them. Yeah? If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And God will look after you because he is faithful and he is just and he is loving and he is merciful. Amen.